Welcome to Eye on the Illini. Folks, we just saw a very, very entertaining, but ultimately the Illini came up short in the game against the Arizona Wildcats, who are currently ranked 11th. But when you look at some of the basketball insiders and experts on Twitter, many people are saying they should be number one or number two. So welcome to Eye on the Illini. I am Illini guy Mike Kegley. And today I have on with me Illini guy and ultimate Illini insider Brad Sturdy and Illini guy director of recruiting Kedrick Prince. So we are going to break down this game and let you hear a little bit about what happened. So Brad, let's give us a couple of your thoughts on, after your had a chance to go talk to Coach Underwood, talk to a couple of the players. Where are you at right now after seeing that exciting, but ultimately, the Illini coming up short? How do you feel right now?
I think it's a loss. Obviously, it's a little disappointing, but at the same time, you feel like they did a lot of things well, even without, you're playing without your All-American point guard. You had some foul trouble, and you really only got anything offensively out of four players.
Yep.
And so it's hard to win when you do that. And then, the other side of it is they really, you see the kind of give and take. Trent Frazier was fantastic. It's disappointing that you ended up a loss when he's that good, because not only is Trent great offensively and scoring 27 points, he was fantastic defensively. Like, whoever they put him on, he just shuts them down. But he can only guard one guy. And now Underwood, I asked him about that in the post game. That's basically what he said. He can only guard one guy. Alfonso Flower was great offensively, scored 25 points. That's awesome. But he really struggled defensively. Could not guard. And whoever they put him on, he struggled. And then, you can't have Trent just guard the other tail of all the entire game, then go guard the other team's best player the entire game and be successful. That's where a guy like Bello really helps you, because now you can, he can guard a guy, but also he takes the ball, lets Trent rest a little bit at times. And so it rarely do you see a guy who is your defensive stopper and your best scorer, unless it's maybe Michael Jordan. But there aren't many of those guys around. But I also thought Arizona's good. The four position, Tubulus just destroyed Hawkins. I mean, just dominated him. And that's not, he's good. Don't get me wrong, but he's just so much more physical than Coleman. And Coleman doesn't get away with the same things that he would against teams that aren't as, physical and strong. And I thought the physicality of Arizona early kind of hit Illinois in the mouth, and then they bounced back, and then it just became one of those games where which team was going to make a play at the end to win the game.
One question I had is, and it didn't come across as much on the TV screen as I thought it would, but that Arizona team is freaking huge. When you were there live, you and Ked, did they look bigger, that much bigger than the Illini? Because there's a couple times where it came across like, man, they're big, but it wasn't quite as dramatic on the TV screen as I thought it might be.
They're huge, huge. I mean, the point guard's 6'3", and he's the shortest guy out there. Mathurin or whatever, he's 6'6". He's crazy athletic, shoots the heck out of it. You got Terry, who is their third star. He's 6'7". Then they bring in a couple 6'5 guys. They got Tubulus is 6'10", 250. And then you got the 7'1", Coloco. And then you've got the guy comes off the bench. He's also 7 foot. So they're huge. I mean, I don't know. There's not really any other way to describe it. They're just a massive team. And very long, and so that's why they're a great defensive team. I mean, they really are tremendous defensively, and I think they were number one in the country coming in field goal percentage defense and two-point field goal percentage defense. So, and that continued today. They really gave Illinois fits trying to score inside the arc.
Yeah, it was, that team, again, big. And you can also see how the coaching staff is recruiting – guys to play against that. I thought, we saw in the first half how the smaller guards can really take advantage of the bigger guys if you can create spacing with Plummer and Frazier. And then over the course of the game, you know, like you said, you have Frazier handling the ball the whole time playing defense. He kind of wore down a little bit, and as did Kofi. But I really felt like, you know, that you know, when you see Morez getting a commitment at 6'8" to 6'10", you know, Akili now is visiting at 6'9". Ty Rogers next year, a wing at 6'7". I feel like Coach Underwood has a plan in place to get to that level that we're seeing to elevate Illinois' program, you know, on a year-by-year basis.
I agree. I mean, I think that's the idea. I mean, you know, and you have a guy, you have some great length when you play, you know, when you've got, you know, Kofi at 7 foot and then you've got Coleman Hawkins, 6'10", 6'11". We talked about Illinois' length, Coleman's problem today wasn't the, you know, he's long enough, but he got just physically manhandled. But you don't see many guys like Tubulis who are that physical and that strong and that big. I mean, almost that long too. I mean, so, and skilled, you know, they were able to switch ball screens and he could guard 1 through 4. And Trent got a little bit against him maybe and hit some shots over him. But overall, I mean, he really gives you a lot of versatility at the 4 spot. And that's kind of how Illinois uses Coleman. He's just, you know, about needs to eat about 30 pounds of, you know, some sort of burrito or something, maybe a 30-pound burrito for the game, and he'll be okay. He'll be right up there.
That's exactly what Kedrick, I'm going to bring him in here, but that's what Kedrick and I were talking about is Coleman Hawkins, you know, he just needs some more weight. And we know that we've got the best guy in America to help him develop, but that, you know, 20 pounds that he needs would have been very valuable tonight against a very physically strong and physically imposing team. Kedrick, what thoughts do you have of this after this very competitive but ultimately close loss for the Illini?
I think the 3 spot hurt Illinois. Illinois could have used a Ty Rogers tonight in a heartbeat. I think that is the most glaring spot. You know, Trent is not a point guard, but he did his job. Trent took care of the ball. He did what he had to do. Plummer did his job. Yeah, you know, there were a few careless turnovers. But for the most part, I just think that's what they're missing. And maybe, you know, I don't want to cry about Curbelo not playing because they went to Iowa City and they won without him. But it does make a difference. You know, it really does. And I told people the night I watched Michigan play Arizona, I thought, oh, my goodness. And you asked Brad the question, sitting there in press row, that team was huge. And even though they were big, Illinois had its chances. You got to take care of the basketball, and you got to go after loose balls. And Brad mentioned a comment about being tougher. I'm going to be honest with both of you and all the listeners. I think Brad was talking about one player specifically. I really do. I know we talked about the five-second call on Plummer, you know, before the show. That's tough. That's a tough spot to put him in. The rules change, and I'm going to tell you, nobody yelled it. Nobody said anything, not a player. Nobody said anything. I feel bad because it kind of washed away how well he played. It was a great game. And Illinois fans, look at it like this. That is one of the top 20 teams in the country, and Illinois should be. But right now, they're not there yet, and they're getting better. If you would have played this team 2 weeks ago, you'd have lost by 18 at home. Look at the big picture and see the growth that this team had. Kofi was 5 for 15, and you lost by, what, 4 points. Curbelo didn't play. You got nothing from Coleman Hawkins offensively, Demonte Williams offensively, RJ Melendez, and Luke Goody. That's not going to happen all season, guys.
Yeah, that was a challenging game. Brad, can you remember any time that only 4 players scored for the Illini?
I actually start going through box scores, and I've yet to find one yet. I've seen 5. I found 5, but even in the 38-33 game back with Penn State, I believe it was 5 or 6. Even. So, I mean, it's crazy. 4 players scored is, I mean, I felt like I was watching high school girls basketball where you have, like, 1 girl score all the points or something like that or 2. You know, it's like, it's weird, you know. There's not that. You know, and that's been one of those things I think that you want to have more balance. But there were opportunities, I thought, for guys to make shots. They didn't make them. And they were, you know, you see Arizona, something out of the other guys, just a little bit, you know, just a couple buckets or whatever.
Yeah, and it was definitely, you know, when you look at the breakdown of the way things went in the halves, you know, the field goal percentage for Arizona was 37% in the first half. They shot 59 in the second half. And to me, you know, that part where the defense really slid down, I think that's what happens when you have good small guys playing against good big guys, is eventually the good small guys, you can only run around so much and you can only try to contest a jumper from somebody 3 inches taller than you, 4 inches taller than you for so long before the size differential comes into play. Conversely, Illinois shot 44% from the field in the first half, and they got held to 34% in the second half. So while Arizona was picking up 22% from the field, Illinois was going down 10, and yet somehow that turns into a 4-point loss. So I guess I don't really understand the gloom and doom, although there are some crazy Illini fans that Jeff Goodman seems to be able to turn off and on like a light switch. But Kedrick, I mean, did you see anything here today that makes you panic for this team in the long term here in the 21-22 basketball season?
I'm going to go back to the turnovers that you and I talked about, and you made a comment to me off air that I think needs to be brought to the table. When Illinois turned the ball over in the second half, Arizona got layups. They didn't have to shoot jump shots. I didn't look at the stat sheet that they gave us close enough, but I bet you they had 10 points off layups or 12 in the second half. That's my biggest concern. I said going into the game, if they could keep the turnovers under 12, they'd have a chance to win. And they end up with 16, I believe, and Arizona had 14. That's the only concern for me, because here's the deal. Illinois is not going to play a team like Arizona for the rest of the year. There's no one in the Big Ten like that. Missouri certainly don't have anybody on their roster like that. So I think Kofi's going to be fine. The way they're shooting the basketball with Jacob and Trent and Alfonso Plummer, I see the positives out of it. The loss stinks. But if you weren't a fan of Arizona or Illinois, you'd have to tip your head, because I don't want to see either one of these teams lose. And I think the difference was the three spot, and Illinois is not getting production from four or five guys. I don't care if people are mad, because we said it. They have to give something. Yes, you can defend and rebound, but you got to give them a couple buckets, because to me, Kofi was frustrated. You could tell he was frustrated. I told you, this is not a mean guy. I've said that multiple times. And if it was me, I would have tried to break the backboard a couple of times, but that's just not who he is, and he's not going to change. You know, he's just not going to. So moving forward, man, turn that ball over. And like I said to you, Brad talked about being toughness. I think Plummer and Trent are tough kids. I really do. I tip my hat to them. Even Easy Jake, he's a quiet competitor, but you never know it. That kid is you want to talk about a good find? You know, Illinois has horrible transfers, but you got great transfers in Plummer and Grandison. And I'll say this, Illinois is probably one of the most athletic guys on their team, Austin Hutcherson. He didn't play. Maybe he was that three guy tonight, the missing man that could have played defense if he was healthy. It could have been him. He could have gave them something offensively, because he's that type of player that Arizona has that Illinois don't have on their roster right now.
Yeah, and I know you know, it definitely is a tough one. You know, coach constructed this roster with Austin being the guy at 6'6", who was, you know, hopefully going to develop and then take some pressure off of DeMonte, and who's got to go up from his 6'2", you know, and guard bigger guys, or Grandison, who is certainly a good basketball player, may not have quite the athletic skills. And that is a void that we see Ty Rogers or a healthy Austin Hutcherson filling. Brad, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, of course, we know Hutcherson's now out for the season with surgery, so
yep.
He will not keep playing the rest of the year with the sports hernia. So that's obviously a blow. him, you know, the team, yes, but for him, and I just feel for that kid. This will be the second straight year where he's had a season-ending injury. But I do, I agree. I think the four spot is for me the biggest concern because I think Grandison, although he's playing the three, he can give you some outside shooting and some offense, kind of offset. Maybe he's not a great defender, but they need Coleman Hawkins. They really need Coleman Hawkins. Is kind of, in my opinion, you know, if it isn't Andre Carvello, the X factor in this team is Coleman Hawkins. When he's good, Illinois is going to be good. When he's not very good, it really puts a lot of pressure on the other guy, I think. And so I think Gates put a lot of pressure on a guy, but I think he's really important to their team. You were talking about stats. 16 turnovers, Arizona scored 25 points off those 16 turnovers. They had 18 fast break points to, I believe it was 3 for Illinois. 18-3, I think, is what it was.
Yeah, that's correct, Brad. That is totally correct.
So, yeah, so, you know, at the same time, even the second chance, Illinois actually had more offensive rebounds, but fewer second chance points than Arizona. So that's probably the biggest difference in the game is they turned the, you know, 14 to 16 turnovers isn't a huge amount, but the difference is Illinois is committing live ball turnovers and Arizona is going down, like Ted mentioned, and they're getting dunks and layups at the other end or wide open threes. Illinois is getting a turnover but not getting anything out of it. So that's a big difference, and that's a big change in the game when you know, you don't convert and they do.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Brad, one of the things that I'm thinking about, and I wanted to get your opinion on this, and then after, you know, you and Ked can talk about this, then we'll have our closing comments. But a question for you is it seems very apparent that the way the referees are going to referee Kofi is that when he gets the ball, until he gets it up above his head, it's kind of open season to do whatever the hell you have to do to grab at the ball. And maybe short of using a blackjack or pistol whipping him, you can pretty much do what you want as long as that ball isn't above his head yet. So, you know, one of the things I guess that I would do is, you know, bring in a sixth guy in practice. And the second that Kofi gets the ball, he runs in and digs, and because Kofi's got to make some of these catches a little quicker. And I'm not saying it's fair or unfair. I'm just saying, you know, he's got to get that ball the first time, and he's got to get it up a little quicker and ready to go. What would you do? And is my analysis correct? Because it really seems like, you know, if they've got an arm, you know, it doesn't really matter as long as he's not got the ball up above his head in the shooting position.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment. Here's the thing with Kofi, you have to, you know, against a guy who's that big and long, like Coloco or whatever his name is, against a guy like that, you have to get him where he's got him on a side or on an angle. It's hard to just turn and score. He's got to be able to do a drop step move and get him on his hip.
Yep.
And you can't just turn and shoot over the guy. So a lot of guys that are smaller than him, you saw him against Notre Dame, you saw him against other games, even against Iowa the other night, he can just bury that guy deep and he's turning to score right over him.
Right.
But you can't do that against these guys. So you have to get him more in movement where he's catching the ball, he's getting guys on his hip, hitting them on his hip, able to get to the you know, spin side, whatever, your baseline side, and left shoulder, right shoulder, whatever it is, but get him in a position where he's got that guy on his side. So that's going to be helpful. And also, it helps isolate where the help's going to come from. I think he struggled tonight. They used to, when they get him the ball deep in the middle in those last few games, start to half, and he can just go up and score because the help can't come. Well, now he couldn't go up and score, so then he starts messing with the ball, trying to get to a spot, and then the help comes, and they start digging, like you mentioned. Now, what I would do, I think you really have to focus on against a guy like that of getting him the ball in different positions and varying also where you get him the ball,
right
block, left block, and things like that, or even on a rip through, you know, I mean, you know, on a move where he catches it and can go. I think there's something to be said for that where they don't really set enough screens for him off the ball. At some point, I think that's something they're going to have to open up. You saw Arizona run the same little like a zipper into a back screen that they ran a couple times to get Tubulus, the ball down in post. It was really effective. So those are things that Illinois has to kind of make adjustments with, and I think that's what I do. Now, as far as Kofi, the other thing is he's gassed. I mean, big guys his size don't play 33 minutes a game.
Agree. Totally agree.
When you play that many games, defensively, he missed some rebounds. He starts fumbling rebounds, fumbling passes, because literally the dude's tired.
I agree.
There aren't many big guys who play MMS. So what we really need probably is more like a solid 30 minutes out of him instead of a 33, because I think that extra bit, and you saw it, there were a couple times they took him out of the game, he was just gassed. But the problem is when you take him out, now you just really clamp down on threes, and nobody can get to the basket, and, you know, you don't get any offense from whoever you put in. So that's where a guy like Bello could really change things, because he can create, he's going to open things up for a guy like Omar Payne on lobs and things like that.
Yeah, and Payne got creamed on the lob that, you know, again, you take just a couple plays and things would be a little bit different. And that was one play that I thought should have been a dunk. He got moved way off his line in midair and just nothing. But, again, overall, I think the refs actually were pretty good in this game, so I'm not really complaining too much. But there were a couple calls that were a little bit mysterious. So, Ked, give me your final thoughts here as we wrap this up.
Well, I want to piggyback real quick what Brad talked about.
Okay. With Kofi.
You know, to me, running a block-to-block screen when Omar was in there to give him a layup, to get him an easy jump hook, to get him going, just isolating him one-on-one when he wasn't able to dunk the basketball, I thought it was unfair to him, because they proved that they could jump and they were quick jumpers, you know. So stuff like that, I guess I want to see them, you know. I know they'll make adjustments. I have no doubt in my mind, you know that they'll do that. I thought, going back to Iowa City, I thought Kofi was tired. The people, I know it's easy to watch the game because you love the score and excitement. But for guys who are nuts like me and Brad, we watched the game. Like, I thought Kofi was hurt, but he was gassed. In Iowa City, he was gassed. And people, it's not about being out of shape. The guy is 7 foot tall, 280 pounds, 75, 95 pounds. That's tough. And this is why we thought Omar Payne was going to be able to give him some minutes to spare him. That's an awful lot to carry. And then when you know him missing free throws, you haven't seen that all season.
Yep, he was exhausted.
He was tired. And I took my hat to the guy, because he's out there battling guys that are two guys that are 6'10", and you got nothing from your guys, you know, who are that tall. So looking at the big picture, man, you cannot fault Kofi when he plays great, you know, or love him when he plays great and get mad at him because he's tired. Because on top of the fact that he lost his minutes last week, they practice. And those practices are not going out there putting your legs up and having a lollipop and eating ice cream. They're tough practices. So I think he was tired.
Practice? Sorry. Sorry. I just channeled my inner Allen Iverson.
That's my tip.
Any other last-minute thoughts, Ked, before we give Brad a final say here?
Blow Missouri out by 20, 30 points. That'll make the fans happy for the holidays. Win a couple more games, stay on top of the Big Ten. And when you get a chance to play Michigan State, Michigan, or Ohio State, you punish them, because the fans, they'll forget about this loss easily and quickly.
Well, and we've got St. Francis next, so that's a good way to heal up. Brad, what say you here to close out the ultimate insider point of view?
Yeah, Illinois's got three non-conference games coming up against teams that they should win. Obviously, we say we throw out the records, bragging rights, but I don't know if you can do that this year. That Missouri's that bad. So those are three games that you need to win and take care of business. Get right, feel good. They've got three games, but these three games are over the course of, I believe, from today until the 29th. So
yes,
what
sir.
Is that? 18 days.
Yep.
They got three games, 18 days. That's 15 practices, because they're going to be on break too. That means they don't have 60 days off. So they're going to have a lot of practice time. Get guys healthy. Get guys right. Get yourself executing. You know, get that toughness Underwood's talking about. And then then get ready for the Big Ten, because here's the thing we know about the Big Ten. You know who's leading the Big Ten right now?
Illinois.
They're 2-0. So you got 18 Big Ten games. You got 18 wars coming up. And I really like the January schedule that Illinois has. They really have a good January schedule in the Big Ten. So if they take care of business in the games that they should win, I think they're, you know, they're going to be favored in most of the next 8 games, I think it is, or something like that. They're probably going to be favored. So go ahead and win those games and take care of business. We'll forget about Arizona. If they're, if in 8 games they're 15-3, we probably won't be too concerned about, you know, the Arizona loss. We'll say, hey, maybe we get them in the tournament. We see what happens. So,
yeah, no, that's a great way to wrap it up. So gentlemen, I really appreciate you jumping on, and I'm going to let you guys go. I know you guys have a long drive back to your respective domiciles. Ked has to go to the Ked Cave, top secret place where he does all of his his recruiting roundups. And then Brad's got to go back to stately, sturdy manor. And we can't disclose the location of that because we don't need a bunch of fans hanging outside of the gates that surround the stately, sturdy manor. So you guys get, we'll get you guys back home safely, but thanks everybody. So we will also have Matt Stevens, the Illini guys staff writer and beat reporter for the football team, who's also helping us cover the basketball team, will be on here in a few minutes. But before we get Matt on, I'd like to remind everybody, you got to go look at the collector's edition Illini guys sweatshirt. It's a gray sweatshirt. If you get an annual subscription, you can get that for free. So that's the type of thing later on that could be worth a lot of money. You know how these things go, promotional items. And once a company gets bigger and bigger, it becomes a big deal. Hard to find, keep it in pristine condition. So, and even better is if you ever run into Brad Sturdy and you have him sign your sweatshirt, it literally could be worth millions. So think about that when you decide you want to subscribe. if you're going from monthly to an annual subscription, you can qualify for that. If you decide to extend your annual subscription, you can qualify for it, or if you're a new subscriber. So please go to our website and take a look at that. We also have Christmas program coming up, $100 a week that we're giving out to different one individual each week. I think there's a week or two of that left. So if you join, you're automatically entered into that contest. So again, annual subscriptions, let's get people joining. And of course you get the full family of Illini Guys products in terms of podcasts. So please make sure that you do that. We want more members so that we can all have more fun. And as I predicted, we've got Matt Stevens, who has found an isolated corner of the State Farm Center where he can talk a little bit about what we saw tonight in that a close battle with the Arizona Wildcats, but one that ultimately the Illini came up short. Matt, what are your impressions on what you saw?
First off, I think it's the most angry I've seen Brad Underwood at his basketball team since the 2019 bragging rights game that they lost to Missouri.
Wow.
So that's it's been a long time since I've seen Brad this angry. We have called the team again the four-letter word that no ever athletic team wants to be called, which is soft. And it's now, is this the second time or is this the third time? Somebody else tell me that Underwood has gone to this well now. I don't even mean to like play the hits, Mike, but when this team sits down and wants to guard, they're really good. When they don't, they're not. And I fundamentally just don't think offensively they really had a whole bunch of glitches, because they got Kofi the ball where they needed to get him the ball. He just didn't finish. So my issue is Trent can't guard two or three people at a time. And so from a perimeter standpoint, you have to get better perimeter defense out of Alfonso Plummer. You have to get better. You have to get something out of the four-man spot. Something. Give me anything. Because you got nothing out of Coleman Hawkins, and you got nothing out of DeMonte Williams tonight. And you're not going to beat a whole lot of teams that way, let alone a team that's now 9-0 and cruising toward trying to win a Pac-12 title and, you know, going to have a really high seed probably come March. I mean, this Arizona team is really, really good. And Illinois is just really, really not right now when they don't want to guard. You know, I think we've seen that over and over and over again. I'm going to keep playing the hits. Like, I've seen them guard against Iowa. I've seen them guard against good teams. Tonight, they just didn't want to sit down and get stops. And when that happens, I think that they're somewhat above average at best. And you kind of saw that tonight.
Yeah, although I got to be honest with you, in my years of coaching, I do think that when you give me guys that are 2 or 3 inches taller, you know, that's that by the second half, I think I can gain an advantage. And I think that some of the defense in the second half came from, you know, 6'1" guys trying to guard 6'4" guys, or 6'5" guys. And then the other half, like you said, I think they did lose their focus as well. That was a big team that they had to guard. And I think you see why. You know, you got Ty Rogers coming in next year, a 6'7" wing. You got Morez Johnson. They've got Akili in on a visit now, 2 6'9" guys. And you can see where Brad Underwood wants to drive this team.
Yeah, I also think he's got a 6'10" guy at the four that he got nothing from tonight. Like, that's on the roster right now. So when you talk to me about Arizona's length, this was going to be a game where Coleman Hawkins was going to be huge. And he came up really bad tonight. I mean, there are times in which, look, you know, people think I go at them, our subscribers on the boards. There are enough people right now that are in our game room and on our boards that are wondering why Demonte Williams is playing so much, especially why is Demonte playing so much at the three and the four? Well, Demonte Williams is playing a whole bunch at the three and the four right now because Brad Underwood could not put Coleman Hawkins on the floor. He couldn't do it because he didn't know what he was going to get out of the young man. And that's a major problem because that's the guy that's supposed to basically negate every part of Arizona's length. And I'll be honest with you, Mike, I think their length is an issue, but it doesn't stop Kerr from running every ball screen he wants and getting anywhere he wanted on the floor. And that's why I say, like, you can't have Trent guarding three guys. Like,
because when he guarded him
and try to guard the ball, like,
right.
And so when Alfonso Plummer, I give Arizona's coach a heck of a lot of credit because he's got his team locked in to the point where they knew Tommy Lloyd's team knew exactly, okay, go find who Alfonso Plummer is guarding and go run something for them. I don't care who it is. And we'll get a bucket. And that's exactly what happened. And so I know that he got 25 points tonight, and I know that he was red hot, and he was offensively part of the reason that they were staying in the ball game. Defensively, I'll put it this way, Mike, from a stats standpoint, you tell me how somebody goes and gets 25 and still is a minus 17 in the plus minus on a night where you lost by 4.
Like, yeah.
That's really hard to do. I mean, honest to God, that's really, really hard to do. And that was Alfonso Plummer's night tonight. So you mix that in with the idea that he's a fifth-year senior who doesn't understand the five-second rule. I don't know how much of that I'm buying, but that's what he said. I don't need to not buy it. He literally screamed it at the bench when the minute it happened. I don't know why. I didn't know that rule. Like,
I was frustrated because as a guy who's coached a lot, I could see the angle where the referee was behind him. And it seems like there are some referees who are what we used to call counters. So they flip that arm.
Right.
And then there's some referees who aren't counters and they might give you a finger if they're even counting. And the angle, he couldn't see that. And none of the players were trying to yell to him. I didn't see the coaching staff yelling to him. I mean, if I was a player, I would have went running towards the referee with a timeout, trying to stop that from happening, or and screaming at him to move.
Well, it's 8:19 Central Time, Central Standard Time, Mike, on Saturday. About 30 minutes ago, he literally put out on Twitter, "That's never been called on me in my entire career."
And again,
that's fine, but it's the rule.
Yeah, no, I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing the rule. I'm arguing that 10 other people saw a referee counting, and they should have been like, "Oh crap!"
No, you know? And then I go back to what I said before. Like, Brad Underwood's really frustrated with this team, and I don't want to be anybody on this roster over the next few days. I don't care if they have finals or not. Like, I imagine this will be a multi-garbage can practice over the next few days, because this has got to get fixed. And it's not going to get fixed by Trent Frazier getting tougher or getting better or playing more minutes. God knows, I don't think Trent can play more minutes. Like,
and neither can Kofi.
It's going to get better with other guys that playing to their capability and just deciding that they want to be better on that end of the floor.
Yeah, four players scoring is pretty amazing. And Kofi was getting up and down the court, and he was wrestling. And you know, one of the things is he's going to have to come to the reality. And we talked about this earlier in the podcast, but until the ball gets up to his head and he's trying to shoot, the referees are clear. They're not calling any fouls for guys slapping, hacking, grabbing his wrists. It's not a foul. So he is going to have to figure out how to post up guys, get the angle on them so that they can't get the hand in there. And he's going to have to make decisions on the passing out, which I think he does a good job of, but he's going to have to make them a half second quicker, because he is not going to have the luxury of bringing that ball up under control at least half the time. I mean, you know, you were at the game, but one of the times, I mean, he literally had a guy grabbing him WWE style, and they didn't call it, which is fine. There was some pushes and stuff that he had as well, but he's got there. The Illini staff is going to have to adjust and help him understand how the refs are calling it and how to deal with that.
He's also doing, I found in the entirety of this game, did the exact same thing he was doing in the first half against Iowa, which is, okay, now I have the ball in the post. I'm going to figure out what I want to do. He's got to know what he wants to do before he receives the basketball. And what he's doing right now, because Tommy Lloyd did a really smart thing, which was, I've got long enough guys and I've got bigs that I think I can play behind Kofi, which was the first time probably this year that anybody has ever felt that way about Kofi Coburn, right? So that when Kofi would get the ball in the post, the double's not coming immediately. Like, it was eventually coming, but it wasn't coming immediately. And like, Kofi's got to figure out, okay, in the intermediate between when the double comes and when it doesn't, I've got to figure out a way to get the guy on my butt so that I can turn and get 2 points. Because if I don't do that, now I'm just sitting there with a big that I have to shoot over, and he was terrible at that tonight. Like, and so I'm just,
yeah.
But I'm not putting this on Kofi.
They did an interesting thing though, because they double teamed. They adjust some of the time they came in quick, and then they didn't always come from the same guy. The interesting thing is right now in his development, I think Kofi is kind of reading the play. And I don't know that he's to the point where he can necessarily anticipate it as well. Mm-hmm. And Lloyd made sure that he didn't ever get a sense of timing as to what was going on. Right. I'll give him credit for that. I can tell you right now, I can guard Kofi if you're going to let me reach in and grab the way that is being allowed. And he is going to have to figure that out. I mean, he doesn't have the luxury, for example, he doesn't have the luxury of trying to grab a pass and catch it on the second, you know, bounce off of his hands. He's got to go get that ball. You saw it with Omar Payne in his limited playing time. You know, he had a time that he put his foot down and then waited for a pass to come to him.
Right.
And in that stretch of stretching his hands to catch the ball, but not going towards the ball, you know, Arizona players just took it away. Right. And so there's some opportunities there for some coaching. And of course,
Yeah, the physical better. Taking the basketball away, like big boy style, that infuriates right now the Illinois head coach.
Infuriates
them. And if you guys want to look at KenPom right now, there are, I think, almost 350 Division I basketball teams. Illinois is somewhere beyond 300 in turnover percentage right now. And
oh, yeah, it's horrible.
As we understand, Mike, after what we saw like in Milwaukee and then that first game in Kansas City, guess what? When your sophomore point guard from Puerto Rico actually maybe comes back eventually, that doesn't get solved because he was also part of the problem there.
Well, like, it doesn't get solved until he plays like he did the last 15 games of last year.
So, yep. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is Andre Carbello is not there, so that's the problem. This team has a problem taking care of the basketball, period. Like, and so there are a lot of things that have got to, like – and then we're talking about this like it was a 40-point blowout loss.
Yeah, but that's my point, though. Despite the lack of Curbelo, the lack of fast break points for the Illini, despite the fact that Kofi had a horrific – for Kofi, I mean 13-13, he had a rough night. They lost by 4 points to what arguably could be the number one or number two team in the country.
I think so. I also think this was a night where the legend of Trent Frazier could have grew more.
Yes.
Because that little sucker is just doing everything he can to make sure Illinois is a decent basketball team. And there needs to be other guys in that locker room that are playing as hard and with as much courage as Trent Frazier is playing right now. And it's not happening. And
the other challenge, to be honest with you, look, Damonte Williams is an Illini guy, but that technical foul was devastating. The timing of it was devastating.
It was stupid. It was not smart.
And he got baited into it. You could tell that what's his face? I think it was Tubelis. I think was there two how you pronounce his last name. I thought it was him, but I might have got my guys mixed up. But basically, he baited him into it. And then, typical referee, they're always going to get the second guy. And ultimately, you can't afford that at that point in time. I think if I recall correctly, they were on a 7-0 run and then got two free throws and the ball back. And that's something that Damonte's done a wonderful job of this season. And he's got to chalk that up as a learning, and it can't happen again.
Well, and also, look, I know it's a Bo Borowski day again for Illini fans, and I get that, and I understand it. And look, I get it, all right? But if you go back and you look, Damonte did shove a ref and had every right to maybe get tossed from the ball game. Like, and so, I mean, I hated the technical for him, but, like, I thought I thought it was interesting. The one ref who got shoved by Damonte did not look at the video. They had the other two guys look at the video, and then they looked at they both looked at each other and went, "Yep, that's a T." Like, so, no, I think that there's a lot of dumb things. There's a lot of, I would say, soft things. This is what their head coach thinks. Their head coach thinks that they do a lot of soft things. They do a lot of dumb things, and right now they don't have an offense right now that allows them to have anything going toward the basket either. And that's a big problem. I think Brad Underwood kind of said it best, like, and if you want to, if you want to target an individual, I mean, I hate to do it because I think he's really, really talented, but I asked Brad specifically tonight, what's the message for Coleman Hawkins? And it's like, dude, get better. Like, you got to get better. I got to have you out there for longer than 12 minutes, and I got to feel better about having you out there, but because you've got to be better. And if he doesn't get better, this team's not going to be as good as anybody thought they were going to be. And that's just the sad reality of it. But there's a lot that I think before they play Minnesota in that next conference game, after they turn the calendar to 2022, there's a lot that this team has to get better at.
They have time to do it, but they need to do it.
They need to start doing it.
Because time to do it, and they're also healthier.
This refrain of what Underwood is talking about, Mike, and this is a coach, and it's the same song, different verse. You know what I mean? It's like, how many times is Brad Underwood going to be able to call this team soft this year before they get the message that they just need to be better? Like, And so this is a frustrating one. I know Arizona's really, really good, but you can't have somebody come into your building and bully you like the way Arizona was. And I feel like with as what this team prides itself on being, they are not good at those things right now. And I think it's really making Brad Underwood sick to his stomach that he can't, you know, have a coach a team right now that can get a stop on defense when they need to get a stop, get a good shot when they need to get a good shot, do smart things with the basketball when they need to do smart things with the basketball. None of those things are happening right now. And these are the pillars at which Brad Underwood has built this program. And it's just not happening right now.
Yeah, no. And I, but I, like I said, it's an interesting, interesting place that they're stuck in right now. I'm hoping that with the team getting a little healthier and 15 or so practices that they've got here over the next 3 weeks, that they can, you know, get some of that unity and get some of that purpose going. And I do think that ultimately, you know, Coleman Hawkins, what we're finding is he did a really good job in the offseason improving his skill sets and putting on some weight. But it's clear he needs another 20 pounds, you know, and so he's going to have to find ways to use leverage. And he's going to also have to find ways on nights that he does get pushed around. And there's just going to be guys who are bigger than you and stronger than you. And the nights that you do get pushed around, you have to find a way to contribute, and you can't lose your cool. And, you know, you got to say, okay, so what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do different or better? And you know, when I can tell he's struggling with a guy, with an offensive player, is he immediately starts using the hand check. And that's your general telltale. And you know, even the time he got a call down the lane where he didn't touch the guy, but he did two hand checks before that the referees didn't call. And then they got him, you know, in the lane. Now if I'm a ref, I'm going to call that second hand check so that I don't wait till the ball goes into the lane and then give a guy two free throws. But nonetheless, as I looked at the game, both as a fan watching on television and looking at the stat sheet, I didn't have a problem with the refereeing. The only thing I would have argued is if Kofi was lighter complected, you would see the red marks all over him from getting slapped, you know, hacked, whatever. And you know, because he takes a lot of shots when the ball is, you know, again, between his chin and the ground. But you know that. So you have to go into it. It's just like, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, in an NBA game, you know, Michael Jordan isn't going to get any fouls called. And if I walk out to play an NBA game, you know that I might have two fouls against me before warmups even start. So you understand how the system works. And so he, you know, he's going to go to the free throw line, but they're not going to give him free throws for guys hanging off his arms or karate chopping him on the inside. And so they've got to work on how does he counter that? What does he do? And that's got to be something that they do in practice so that what you're talking about, he doesn't have to think, he just does it. And they've got 3 weeks to get there and then the rest of the season. And Coach Underwood is really good at that development. That's a thing that, you know, you can look at his teams throughout the years, but they're going to have to step on it and they're going to have to put some, you know, they're going to have to push down on the accelerator because they're going to have to, you know, he's going to have to know that, okay, I got a guy on my hip. So what can I do with the ball? And then the rest of his teammates are going to have to help him from a standpoint of, hey, if Kofi gets the ball on, you know, the low block on the left side, somebody is in the corner and somebody's, you know, on the wing so that he knows exactly where they're supposed to be. So he can get them the ball if that's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah. And I would have wished Kofi would have had somebody. If Kofi gets you on his hip, he's going to turn and score and probably get 2 points. What I found tonight was that you had multiple bigs from Arizona be able to play behind him and but still stay parallel between him and the basket to where when he caught the ball, they weren't already in a position, I would say, that was not favorable for them. You know, they could feel Kofi go one way and then they can just go with him and they're still playing ball, you man. You know what I mean? Like, so that's something that Kofi's got to figure out. And I have said before, and I'll say it again, like, I know that this sounds really harsh, but he's 7 feet and 280 pounds. At some point, dunk the damn ball. I at some point, you know, Jeff Alexander's got to look at him and go, look, you are the most dominant force in college basketball. You need to have more dunks than you're having right now. This lay it up stuff or this jump hook that you're trying to do in the lane needs to be a dunk. You know, and there were too many times that I felt like Kofi was taking challenge jump hooks or challenged lay-ins against a long defender with two hands up and it didn't go in. And sometimes, like, for somebody like Kofi, who's not, let's just be honest, he's not the best finisher on those types of things. He just needs to dunk the damn ball, like, in the position and dunk the damn ball. And that's got to come with videotape and him working with Jeff Alexander and him pointing out all of those things. None of those things, I feel like, and look, they're all important. None of those things for me stop the idea that, for whatever reason, Alphonso Plummer still hasn't figured out how to be as good a perimeter defender as Andre Carbello. Like, we just need to get you to be an adequate perimeter defender. Like, we need, if Illinois is going to win, Demonte Williams has to be good on one end of the floor. And tonight he just wasn't. Like, and he would be the first one to tell you that. And again, Arizona runs as close to, I feel like, a professional system offensively that I've seen in a long time. Because for one, I've never seen anybody, even when they take the ball out of the cylinder, get up the court as fast as they do. I mean, it was unbelievable. And they're not out of control. And two, I do feel like they do take advantage of matchups better than I've seen a lot of other teams that Illinois has played. And that's my concern for Illinois, is that there are teams that now are going to get tape and they're going to make their own scouting reports because they get paid to coach too. And they're going to target number 11, Alphonso Plummer, and go, I don't care, like, who he's on. If we have an opportunity to go at him offensively, we're going to go do it. Cause right now he's getting targeted. And Arizona, I think they made 6 out of their last 8 shots. And I imagine 4 or 5 of those were on Plummer, and he had no idea how to stop them. And so Brad's right. I mean, Underwood's right. Trent can't guard 3 guys. And so I know that Arizona is very, very good offensively, and they're very, very good from a tempo standpoint. You cannot have somebody come into your building and score 83 points and think you're going to win, period. And
I agree with that. Although, like I said, it seems to me that what the Illini, you know, need to do is you obviously, you know, if you don't have Curbelo coming back, this team's expectations and ceiling has been dramatically altered. So, but let's assume the best here, that he'll be coming back. That gives you a little bit of lift. And to be honest, with Curbelo there tonight, I feel like just the difference in how he sets up guys for offensive scores, you know, we probably win the game. Now, there's no way I can prove that. So, but I think ultimately what they have to figure out is how do we, and again, you know, from coaching, it's not how do we stop people from scoring, because you don't stop people from scoring. Basketball players are too darn good nowadays. But what you do perform is how do we contest their shots, that we can take their efficiency down so that we can beat them, because maybe we get one more stop than they do. Yeah, and I know that's a nuanced thing, but that's where this team has to get. Where and the problem is, it goes back to what you're talking about. One is that probably there's a few players, not everybody, but there's a few players who probably don't value a defensive possession enough. And certainly we can say almost across the board that they don't value the ball and possession when they have it nearly enough. Those are the two problems that I would try to get, the valuing of possession and valuing the defensive.
You're setting up the bullet points for these next week of practices.
Yeah.
Mike. And to be honest, You're absolutely correct, and I'll clarify what I'm saying is I guess the 83 points shouldn't be as jarring, although I don't like giving up 83 in my own building. The fact that Arizona shot almost 60% in the second half.
Yep, that's exactly
that's, it. That's the big problem. And, yep. and where they're getting the shots, because I'm telling you, Mike, and I don't know if you agree or not, but like when we're sitting down there on the floor, like when they run that ball screen action, Arizona did all second half long, they got the ball anywhere they wanted to. There was no pushback from Illinois. There was no counter defensively to that. The only counter that Illinois had was, well, we'll just put Trent on him because he's the only one that can stop it. Like, and then Arizona recognized who Trent Frazier was guarding and said,
go somewhere else.
Somebody else.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So the 83 points is not as much of a red flag for me as the 60% in the second half. And then the fact that Arizona got the basketball wherever they wanted to get it.
Well, and part of that goes down to the 37% in the first half tells me that Illinois could stay with them for a while. And that's where I go back to my original premise that a good big team will beat a good small team by wearing them down, and generally is in the second half. So when I ran AAU teams, we had good players, you know, guys who were starters at normal community, that type of level of team. We did not have guys who were starters, you know, at Morgan Park. And so I couldn't tell you the number of games we played against top 25 teams that we looked okay at the half. And then as the game progressed, you can only keep that up for so long, and then you just can't match them.
Which is why I'm not suggesting Jacob Granderson needs to take Coleman Hawkins' minutes.
Because yeah, exactly.
At a lengthy 6'10", Coleman Hawkins is a much bigger problem for an opponent.
Yes.
Than Jacob Granderson at
6'7".
I mean,
yep.
But I don't blame Brad Underwood for going
– being frustrated.
Jake's out there. I know what I'm going to get from him. He's solid. He's a veteran. I trust him. And right now, as of today, if you go back and you look at the game today, Underwood couldn't put Coleman Hawkins back in the game because I don't know what I'm going to get from him and I can't trust him. Like, so I'm not trying to like beat a dead horse with the kid, but like if he's really, really good, Illinois is an elite basketball team. If he's not, and they continue to turn the ball over and they continue to not get stops, they're very, very average, and they're a middle-of-the-road Big Ten team. So that's where we sit right now. And I know that it's a four-point loss to the number 11 team in the country who will probably be maybe in the top five by Monday morning. Like, I get it. But this is a game, again, you could have won. And all you needed to do was take care of the basketball and guard a ball screen once in a while. That's all they had to do.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it. Could not do it. And from my standpoint – I don't blame Brad Underwood one bit for anything that he has said, because this mentality that his team has had since the beginning of this year, which I've looked at and went, uh-oh, we got a problem here. And I hate to bring his name up one more time, but like I've seen another game in which I'm sorry, but I would assume he wouldn't have let this happen. And I know he's not walking through that door, but to get his jersey hung in the rafters on January 6th, but like the leadership of this team needs to make it known that like we're not going to let this happen anymore. And until that happens, I think you're going to see this consistently out of Illinois. There are games I think that Brad Underwood has felt this way for a while and they won. Texas, Rio Grande Valley. Like it's the same stuff that Underwood said after that game too. And they won that game and they gave up 84. You know, and he's sitting here and he's going, when are these guys going to get it? And you have to hope before we flip the calendar to 2022 that they get it, because you know Big Ten teams are going to eat them alive if they continue to go down this road. And I have a lot of concerns, but there are positives that I can see this flipping, and one of them is your fifth year senior guard Trent Frazier continuing to play the way he is, because I mean that little son of a gun is playing at an elite level. And right now, I mean, I'm not trying to be a homer, but with everything that he's gone through from an injury standpoint, if I have to fill out a first team all Big Ten right now, he's on it because of the way he's playing and making sure that Illinois is even at 7-3 right now. And so this one hurts. Like, as Trent said, this one should hurt for a while because Illinois should have won.
Yeah, you don't like to give away games, and you know, but ultimately, sometimes those games are what is the gives you decide, you know, gives you the opportunity to maybe listen to what coach has to say. And you know, I've had the, you know, I've been fortunate to watch, you know, this this, you know, not this team, but the Illini practice under Brad Underwood, and something tells me that focus will be very intense. And then I guess ultimately you've got to figure out a way to get healthy so that everybody's out there, and then you maintain that. I don't think this team's as far away as people think it is, but that consistency has to be there, and you can't have Coleman Hawkins vary from, you know, 13 points and 8 rebounds to no points and 2 rebounds. That you can't do that. And so he's a kid who's got a ton. He's got a high ceiling. Unfortunately, he's had a low floor. And so it's time for him to elevate that floor. And that's going to take some discipline. I think he may have the opportunity to prove to coach that he can do it and how bad he wants it. You know?
Yeah, because I think his head coach knows how talented he is and he wants him to do well. I
mean, yeah, exactly.
And it's not like he's given up on Coleman Hawkins.
I mean, exactly.
He's pleading with Coleman Hawkins and he's pleading with Alfonso Plummer, please get better at the things that we're asking you to get better at.
And you can practice. You can practice picks till people puke. I mean, it's actually a doable thing.
They might do that over the next few weeks. Yeah,
that's pretty much what I might be thinking here. So, what's your final wrap so that I can get this out to our Illini fans?
Illinois is 7-3. I don't see them foreseeing them having any issues with the teams on their schedule. You know, up until the next Big Ten game, which is Minnesota, and. Usually, I think what's interesting, Mike, is what I said in the beginning. This is the most angry I've ever seen Underwood at his basketball team since the 2019 bragging rights game after the Missouri. Well, that team went on a run after that loss. So the only thing I can come up with, Mike, is usually, you know how this works. When you go through finals week, usually it's kind of, I'm going to lay off of them. And, you know, they've got enough to worry about. I'm not going to, like, you know, put them through the grinder on the court because they've got enough to worry about. You know, come Christmas time during finals week. I don't think Brad Underwood has that luxury. I don't envy what their practices are going to look like over the next few days, because I think he's just going to grind them as hard as he can, because this is getting to a point that I think it's now starting to bother the machismo that is Brad Underwood. And I'm not going to have this be what my team is going to be known for in 2021, 2022. Just from an ego standpoint, let alone wanting the team to get better. So I don't envy their practices, but I do have a feeling that Illinois has the possibility of going on a run after this kind of a loss, because I think their head coach and their leadership, Trent Frazier, DeMonte Williams, are going to demand it of the rest of the roster, and we'll see where this goes from there.
Perfect. So appreciate that, sir, and glad that you were able to give us that update from the bowels of the State Farm Center.